Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to have Call Your Shot Friday coming up at 7:45 as we do each and every Friday. And then, of course, at 8 o'clock, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us. And we'll break down this game last night between the Titans and the Colts. But right now, Joe, let's talk a little bit of big picture for the second. And obviously this has a lot to do with what the game was and how it played out last night. But the Titans have lost 3 of 4 games. They started the season 5-0. They're now 6-3. Defensively, they've had problems. Special teams was an absolute disaster last night against the Colts. The offense is not as productive right now as it was before Taylor Lewan went down with an injury. How concerned are you about this team, big picture-wise, right now, after the loss to the Colts last night? How concerned should Titans fans be at this point?
I'd say quite. I mean, I don't think that this is going into the toilet, but I think the thing with this team that's changed, and I just don't know how it gets back, is offensively they're very different. And, you know, the thing is, it gets asked, and every time it gets asked, people take it as you're ripping on Tyson Briloe. It's not the point. I mean, I'm watching this team. I'm watching a lot of plays where two guys are out on going out for passes. You know, I mean, they've had to change how they've done things. And you have to, and especially when you're playing good teams with good pass rushers. I mean, the Colts, Autry, Houston, those are legit guys. Bears have legit guys. Steelers have legit guys. And they've had to adjust to it. So in some matchups, it may not look like that. But I think that that's a big thing. You can't possibly lose Taylor Lewan and not pay for it. Saffold's also banged up, by the way, and he got hurt on the – he got ankle last night after shoulder the other day. What a week for Roger Saffold. But I think Tannehill is being affected now. I think last night's the first time I thought, like, he's actually regressing, probably because of the situation. But after that start, I mean, he had a terrible second half.
He did.
And, I mean, you're not winning that game if he doesn't play great the whole game. If he doesn't play great every week now with the way your defense is and with the way your kicking game is, Tannehill and Henry both have to be stars. Henry still is. Tannehill is not right now, and that's a big concern.
Well, that's what the biggest takeaway to me, not only last night, but the last 4 weeks, has been their margin for error has evaporated. I mean, they used to have a pretty healthy margin for error just because that offense was so good. I mean, Taylor Lewan, when they're at full strength, the offense is a top five offense in the NFL. That's just what it is. I think there was enough body of work and a large enough sample size for us to know that's what this offense is at its peak. It's a top five offense in the NFL. And with Lewan gone, and obviously not having Adam Humphries in there as well last night, and kind of mixing and matching people in the receiving game, it's not the same, and that margin for error is gone. And the Titans look like a really average football team when they don't have that margin for error. And that's what we've seen. I mean, losing 3 out of 4 games is concerning. The next 2 weeks, it doesn't get any easier. I mean, Baltimore, you can't feel great about right now if you're a Titans fan, given what this defense has looked like most of the year. I think Baltimore's defense is great. So, I mean, the next 2 weeks, 6-5, very much on the table. Now, maybe they pull a rabbit out of their hat, they go win in Baltimore, and set themselves up for another big game against the Colts. But I am very concerned if I'm a Titans fan right now. Not that, like you said, the season's just going to totally go in the toilet, but that the aspirations of being a legitimate contender in the AFC, I just don't see it right now with this group as presently constructed.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the year to win the AFC South, and you had a chance to really set yourself up for it. I will say this. No matter what happens in Baltimore, I don't feel any differently about the Titans and the Colts' overall quality in terms of the Titans can go win in Indy. They can go win a game in Indy. I'm not saying they will, and I think some of the history, some of the mental block about playing the Colts plays in there, but they did it last year. They could go do it again. And if they do, they'll be back in a position of strength probably You know, unless they lose to the Ravens and the Colts beat the Packers. Long way to go on the race, but they can go win that game. But as far as contender, yeah. I right now, you got way too many issues to even think about that. You got to get to the postseason.
Which sounds crazy after starting 5-0, but, I mean, they just put it up on the screen on Good Morning Football. I mean, they're right in the thick of things now with a whole bunch of different teams in the wild card race. You've got Miami and Cleveland both at 5-3, kind of sitting on the outside right now, and you
Raiders.
Play Cleveland. Yeah, Raiders right there as well. I mean, all of a sudden, the Titans are in the thick of it in terms of the playoff race in the AFC where, you know, a few weeks ago you're sitting at 5-0, you're feeling great about the postseason, obviously, and you're thinking to yourself, all right, how high of a seed can you get? I think it's going to be a dogfight to make the playoffs the rest of the way based on where this roster is right now. I really do.
No, I do too. I still like it. In the big picture, you're right. I mean, they're not very good on defense. Can they get to like average? Yeah, probably. Can their offense be better than last night? Yeah. Last night in the first half, I was like, the Colts aren't going to stop them tonight. They went right down the field.
Yeah.
They went right down the field. They went right down the field. Touchdown, touchdown, field goal. So like it's there, but I don't know if it's like reacting poorly to adversity. I still say like, man, if you have two disasters like that in the punt game, it blows everything up.
It does.
But I don't like how they responded. That wasn't a good response.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says 9-7, here we come again. Calling my shot, Matt Patricia, defensive coordinator next year.
And Bill O'Brien, OC?
Maybe. If they go 9-7 again, what is this fan base going to do? I mean, heck, I mean, maybe 9-7 gets you in the playoffs. But I think 9-7 again, very realistic right now.
It gets you in the playoffs for sure, probably, if there's more cancellations till they go 8-8, which is on the table, the NFL announced this week.
Yeah.
Still at 7, might get you in, might not get you in, but it's certainly on the table. If they lose these next three, or excuse me, the next two, which are very tough games on the road, Baltimore, Indy, they're 6-5. You've got Cleveland still. You've got the Packers still. Yeah, even that game at Houston at the end. I mean, it's certainly on the table. 5 straight. I need to know what the NFL record is for that.
It's got to be close, right?
So let's go back to a poll question that we had earlier this week. Over under 10.5 wins.
Yeah.
For this Titans team. Are many people picked the over. You guys picked the over. I think last night changed a lot of people's thoughts over that.
Changed mine.
Yep. I'll take the under.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they can certainly go 10-6. And 10-6 may win the AFC South. I mean, the Colts have a tough schedule. Let's not forget that. I mean, yeah, like, I don't think any differently about the Colts. I don't know about you guys. The Colts are, I mean,
they're good.
Yeah, they're good. They have a good defense.
Right.
But honestly, like, their defense, the Titans were handling their defense. And Tannehill misses some throws I expect him to hit in the second half.
Yeah.
And their offense, I figured it would be that level of frustration. And you have to stop them in the red zone. They did some. They didn't others. They're good, but this is not I think that the ceiling of the Titans is still higher than that of the Colts. And I think if they played, I know Porth will probably laugh at this because you would probably say they'll lose 9 out of 10, but I think if they played 10 times, I think the Titans would win 6 or 7. I mean, I know some people say that's crazy. You're not ever going to have another situation like that. Well, shouldn't say ever. You're rarely going to have a situation where you go shank and block for touchdown back-to-back and blow a 4-point lead and become a 10-point deficit in 1 minute of football.
I hear you, but at the same time, with the Titans' injuries, I don't know how much better they really are than the Colts. And last night proved just that. I mean, even though the Titans
they're close
started well, I mean, the Colts took over that game as it went along, and then it obviously swung big time. But, I mean, the Colts didn't punt the ball until 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I mean, the defense still is a major issue.
Well, yes. Now, I think the Colts, I haven't watched them all year, but, like, you knew between the 20s, it's gimme. And it was going to be a red zone game, right? So, I mean, the Titans' defense is not good. They still have Adoree Jackson out there. Adam Humphries, that will get him back. That does make a difference. Yeah, again, okay, I'll say 6 out of 10. They're close. But I think some people are probably going to come away from that game thinking, you know, that the Colts are way better than the Titans. I don't think that's the case.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, not as concerned. Phillip Rivers showed his veteran skills by running a no-huddle offense and didn't give time for the defense to get itself together. Over 60 offensive plays will do that to any defense. The defense was tired in that game.
So that's not a concern?
That's a concern to me.
I mean, yeah, he picked them apart. You're right. They play after play after play again. I mean, they are the classic frustration offense of, here, we'll take four with the back, and we'll take three with the tight end, and just here we go all day long. This is why I feel like the Titans had to do some different things. I don't think they did different things enough.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in, how would you feel if both the Colts and the Titans lose next Sunday and then the Titans win in Indy 2 weeks from now? Do you feel any different about this team?
Well, no, I won't, because I'm not going to be shocked at all if that happens. I won't feel any different. I'll feel it, you know, that they've recovered psychologically from this. Probably also means they got a little healthier. They could use this break. This is their last break of the whole year. You know, they've used their idle week already. So, you know, I mean, this is it. And you got to get Saffold healthy. You got to get Humphreys back. He should be back next game. I think Adoree Jackson will be back next game. They need him.
You think so?
Well, sure.
Think he'll be back in there?
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and put myself out there for the first time all year and say Adoree Jackson plays in the next game.
Yeah. All righty. Way to go.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, those guys are important. I do wonder about with the left tackle situation. You know, no one's saying some Brylo stinks, but it's way different from Luan to him, and I think it's different in the mind of Ryan Tannehill right now. That's to me, the disappointment, other than the just ridiculous specialist kicking game stuff. But the Tannehill and how he was affected, that's concerning.
When we come back, we'll get your reaction to the game last night. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also, how concerned are you right now about this Titans offense? Is it going to get any better at this point without Taylor Lewan? We'll discuss on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9 is your exclusive home for the 2020 Masters Tournament. Tune in to 102.5 The Game for leaderboard updates today and tomorrow. Then tomorrow and Sunday on ESPN 94.9, we'll broadcast the Masters live on both days. It's all brought to you by Music City Golf Store in Belmead for all your golfing needs. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, getting your reaction to a 34-17 loss by the Titans last night to the Indianapolis Colts. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Steve from Gallatin, who wants to weigh in. Steve, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, guys. Hey, I tell you, last night is so disappointing. I have questions. This may have already been addressed, but obviously our special teams and the kicking situation. I don't understand why we brought in the FedEx punter last night. If we had a punter that we brought in the week before Chicago, he did a fine job. I've heard about maybe a low trajectory or whatever on his kicks, worried about a block. You see what happened last night.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's Gostkowski. You know, I don't know. Maybe if the punter last week had been an old Patriot style, then everything would be cool, because, you know, it kind of seems that that the brass over there, Vrabel and J-Rod, you know, you're an old Patriots pal. I guess you're in like Flynn, because, you know, he's still got a job. He stinks it up. He's missed, what, a kick in six games, I think, now? I can't remember.
Yeah, 12 of 20 on the year.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, is there going to be a change for him now? I don't even know what's out there on the, you know, who knows what's out there. I guess we'll get a guy from UPS now. you know, we already said it. But, and then, you know, hey, ROC, we're taking boys from his daddy's company, so I don't know how that goes over. But anyway, it's like, come on, man. You know, why do you mess with something? You got so many problems. Why do you mess with something that was seemingly fits for at least one game? Wait till the wheels fall off, that you forced the wheels to fall off last night, if you ask me.
Hey, that's a great call, Steve. Appreciate you calling into the show.
I told you earlier, like, how did I not somehow make some kind of joke between Trevor Daniel and Arthur Smith. Like, there was a FedEx.
There's a FedEx joke to be had last night.
There's a link
to
be made in there, and it blew it. My gosh, listen to my disaster of a. Hey, 2 hours of sleep's catching up, baby. Let's go. We got a long way to go. I totally blew that. I hope someone else made that joke. That's what I was going to say before I muted myself, unmuted myself, and almost broke my microphone. Thank you.
You punted that mic farther than Trevor Daniel
that
would have.
Definitely, the hang time would have been a lot better than Trevor Daniel on that one. That was good.
That portion of the show was the Titans two punts in the third quarter right there. Well, hopefully. It could get worse. You never know.
But it was actually in a span of about 2 seconds and not 62 seconds.
Yeah, but to Steve's point there, like, this to me is a classic case of a coaching staff overthinking things. You're talking about trying to get better hang time. I thought Ryan Allen was fine in that game against Chicago. Yeah, was it perfect? No. Was it good enough? Yeah. I mean, sometimes I think you over-prepare and you overthink a little bit too much. As professional coaches, you got a lot of time to sit there and plan. And I get it. Was it perfect last Sunday against the Bears in the kicking game? No, and they did almost get two kicks blocked in that game. But how you feeling about that decision right now? Not so good.
Yeah, again, so Hannah Storm, and I'll admit, I haven't, in fact, I don't follow Hannah Storm on Twitter. I think I will now, but she tweeted last night that the Titans did this for hang time. I don't know if they talked about it in the broadcast or all. Yes, Ryan Allen had some line drives Sunday. He outkicked the coverage a couple times. He averaged 50.5 on 8 punts. His net punting was 40. You'd like to be a little closer to 45, but it's not bad. And overall, he did a really good job. And again, Ryan Allen held for years for Gostkowski in New England, and you don't want to mess with Gostkowski right now. You want to make things as comfortable as possible for him. Brett Kern goes out. That's nobody's fault. But I think the holding part of this is another reason to be like, okay, so Ryan Allen was good. Wasn't perfect. He wasn't Brett Kern, but he was good. And he's very familiar. You know, Gostkowski's familiar with him. He held fine. Let's not change the operation again. Why do we want to change this up? This is not a Rubik's Cube. Let's not change the operation in special teams, which is so about precision and timing and so many reps to get it exactly right. Why are you changing that up on a short week with a guy who's driving for FedEx?
Yeah.
I mean.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's a gamble. It's a risk, and it's an unnecessary one, and it blew up in your face.
It absolutely did, and it cost you the game. I mean, look, the Titans, as poorly as they played at times on defense, and as difficult as it was to get things going offensively, number one, because they didn't have the ball a whole lot, but number two, I agree with you. I thought Tannehill wasn't very good in the second half of that game. They still had a chance. Like, special teams cost them basically 17 points in this game between the shank on the punt block, obviously, and then Steven Gostkowski doing what Steven Gostkowski does, and that is missing field goals inside 50 yards. That's 17 points. Right there. I mean, that's the difference in the game. So as much as we talk about the Titans struggling offensively, which they have, they're not the same team offensively since Taylor Lewan. And I talked about their margin for error once being there. Now it's totally gone, in my opinion. They're not the same team. But with all of that in mind, they still, if you have just a normal night on special teams, not anything spectacular, but you do what you're supposed to do, you're in that game, maybe giving yourself a chance to win that game at the end, even with everything we've talked about. And that, to me, the word you brought up, unnecessary, by the coaching staff, it was totally unnecessary, and it blew up in their face in a big way last night.
Well,
and it may cost you the division.
Your word, overthinking, I also liked. Good word by you.
Thank you.
Because that's exactly what it was. It's unnecessary overthinking.
Another T-shirt we could make there. That's good.
#unnecessary overthinking 2020 Titans.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ryan in Nashville texts in. I know it's two different sports, but I think the Titans took a page out of the Preds book from last season. You're winning the game, and then on the third period slash fourth quarter in this case, you find a way to blow it. I did not like the way the Titans responded. After things went awry and the special teams disasters, I didn't like the way the defense responded. I didn't like the way the Titans as a whole in terms of being able to overcome some adversity, which we've seen this team do at times. I didn't like the way they responded to that last night.
Yeah, so you look at the drive chart offensively. So again, the first drive is as good as you can be. Fast start, boom, precision. Ryan Tannehill rips them right down the field. Six plays, 67 yards. They have a three and out, but then they have an 8-play drive, get a field goal. They have a 9-play drive, get a touchdown. So there's 4 possessions in the first half, 1 punt. Other than that, you get 17 points out of 4 possessions. You know, again, the Colts are holding the ball forever. Then basically that third quarter, you had 2 possessions, and it was those awful, the punt and the block punt. I mean, even, again, before the Gostkowski missed, they drive down the field 12 plays. They go 40, they get 52 net yards, and he misses. And the drive after that, they go 10 plays, they go 63 yards. I mean, it wasn't as bad, I guess, when you look at it from that perspective offensively. It's just that Tannehill misses Jonnu Smith on the corner that he normally would hit. He also just on 3rd and 2 and 4th and 2 on that last drive I just mentioned, he just misses those throws. One's batted away, and one, he just sails it. And it's weird to see that. You expect almost perfection from him. But there's just – you mentioned margin for error earlier. There's so little for right now. And I think the offense is feeling the strain of that.
Do you feel like Ryan Tannehill getting clocked multiple times here in the last few weeks is affecting him?
Absolutely.
In the pocket?
That's a great point. And, man, that one play, I don't know what they showed on TV, but it was right in front of me like in the press box. I mean, he got – nailed, and he was down, and I was like, okay, well, he's, because like he would have at least had to come out for a play. It was painful watching him get up from that and shake it off, and I don't even remember what happened on the next play. I think it was a short yardage play.
Well, Joe Buck on that play that you're talking about talked about Tannehill like going towards the sidelines, like he thought Tannehill was going to come out of the game on that play.
He was wobbly, and his head hit, but also he was limping. So sometimes limping is actually more head than actually lower body, but he was shaken up. And, yeah, I think that's a great point, Porth. I think he's taking hits. First few games of this season, did he get hit? I'm sure here or there.
Not a whole lot.
He had a lot of plays where he stood in a clean pocket, picked teams apart, and the clock – because of opponent and because of personnel, is dramatically faster now.
Well, yeah. He also got smoked out of bounds by Darius Leonard.
Yeah.
That was so stupid.
Like 4 yards out of bounds.
And then he complained about it.
He complained about it. I had a Colts fan telling me that it was like a Ryan Tannehill sell job last night. I was like, dude, he's 5 yards out of bounds.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
That was a dumb play. The Colts had a bunch of dumb penalties, but didn't matter.
Let's go back to the text line quickly, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our good friend Heidi from Dixon texts in. Gostkowski needs to pay what he owes or be gone.
So Heidi, you are trying to at least make us think you're a Stillman burner account. Or you actually are one.
Yeah.
Jared, is that you?
No, if he's not, like Heidi would be talking, if it was truly Jared, they'd be talking about Craig Aukerman this morning. Wouldn't be Gostkowski. It'd be Craig Aukerman.
I'm looking forward to seeing where that show goes today.
Me too.
But Heidi, would you sing me a birthday, happy birthday song on Cameo? That's my question for you. That will tell the tale.
Okay. All right.
Let me know, Heidi.
When we come back, it was a rough night last night for a guy that we hyped up yesterday as maybe being trending towards elite at his position in the NFL. We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. But first, Joe, you've got a word from FanDuel.
I do have a word from FanDuel, and I want to talk a little bit about college football this weekend. Vanderbilt, Kentucky. Big game. I can tell you for certain it is a top 3 SEC game this weekend. The stakes are high. I'm about to make them bigger because FanDuel Sportsbook is adding to the action. They got a special spread the love line boost. This is pretty cool. For every 250 fans, 250 fans who bets on Vanderbilt to cover, FanDuel will move the point spread by a point in Vandy's favor. So the more keep betting, the more points Vanderbilt will get, and FanDuel will pay you based on whatever the line is at kickoff. You don't have to wait to get on the action. You get in here, the more Vanderbilt fans who push the line, that's what it will be. You will get that line at kickoff. To give you an example of this, there was an Indiana-Michigan State college basketball game. It opened. Indiana was getting 2.5 points. Indiana fans did so much betting that Indiana got 118.5 points. I'm going to tell you that if you get 118.5 points in a college basketball game, you're going to win. So, if you already have a FanDuel Sportsbook account, look for the Spread the Love market. You place your bet. The more Vanderbilt fans who do this, you could get the line to a point where it's basically impossible not to win. And if you've been holding out, what are you waiting for? Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started. You got to be 21 and present in Tennessee. You must wager in designated crowdfunding market. The max wager is $50. The payout's at minus 110. If you have a gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 800-889-9789.
We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Third down and 11. Tannehill throws and it is dropped. A.J. Brown had it for a moment, lost it.
Yeah, Ryan, what's going on with the drops with the receivers? Obviously, A.J. had a big one today, had another one. Corey had a couple last week. It seems like it's really starting to kill some of these drives.
Yeah, it's been, you know, all types of different things, you know, whether it's drop or it's a throw, a missed block. It's never one thing or one person. But when you add the things up, you're killing drives, you're stalling out, you're not scoring points.
That was Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill after the game last night on the mistakes made by the Titans offense. And a big one last night, Joe, was the drop by A.J. Brown in the first quarter. The Titans already up 7-0 in that game, which, by the way, Porth, great song. Way to go. Drop it like it's hot. That's thanks. Good.
Not very, proud of it.
Very
after
well done.
Last night, but thanks.
You're welcome. Trying to find some solace in this day for you, Ryan.
But anyway, the Titans up 7-0 in that game, and Tannehill throws just a beautiful ball. I mean, it's down the left sideline there. It hits A.J. Brown in stride, and A.J. just drops it. And he would have – I mean, it would have been a touchdown on that play, a long play, a big bomb play for the Titans. And I said it earlier in the show, I watched the replay and watch how late he was at putting his hands up to go catch the ball, that I almost wonder if the ball got lost in the lights and he just couldn't find it. But regardless of whether or not that happened – that's a big play missed for the Titans, and not a great night last night from A.J. Brown.
No, we talked. I mean, it's really been an ongoing discussion on the whole where is he rank, elite, what tier, number one receiver, all that stuff. I mean, last night, for those who have been arguing that he's not there yet, last night he said, hey, guys, you may be right, because it was disappointing. Because it was that play, and I don't know, you may be right, maybe the lights got in the way, but couple others too that he's got to have and he didn't have, and that's strange to see, and it's a big deal for a team, you know, missing Adam Humphries. You know, Corey Davis guts it out and plays in that game a day after losing his brother.
Yeah,
plays great. A.J. Brown just had, I mean, that's got to be as disappointing a performance from him since he's kind of elevated to, you know, the number one receiver on this team.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark from Clarksville text in, we talked up Brown a lot yesterday, only one catch. Jared is going to love that, and I think Mark had Brown ranked 9th in the NFL yesterday. So, not a great night for A.J. Brown in terms of the power rankings of where he is right now as NFL wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, right at that drop, Stillman immediately tweeted at me and tweeted at Cal Tucker. And again, I'm fine with that, you know? If we argue about a player and a player stinks that he says isn't good enough, that's fine. The clowny stuff from him is not fine. It's he needs to be censored. Twitter, you need to flag some of these tweets. you may need to look into this a little bit.
Oh man, rough night last night for A.J. Brown, and it was one of those things where just think about how the game transpired after that, and look. With the Titans going up 14-0 in that game, does that change what happens on special teams later in the game? I don't know. I mean, maybe not. But going up 14-0, where you have all the momentum, the offense, to your point, I mean, the first drive was surgical by the Titans offense. They went right up and down the field. They looked great. Arthur Smith, I think, had a great game plan coming out. You hit that play to A.J. Brown, and you're up 14-0. I mean, you've punched the Colts right in the mouth before they even know what to do with themselves. It could have been a totally different game at that point. I mean, that's a really costly mistake by A.J. Brown, and that goes back to, you know, the margin for error that I talked about. You can't have those type of plays anymore when you're just not as equipped to make up for it as you once were, especially at the start of this season.
Yeah, it's surprising because it feels like he's really been on an ascent this year. Not that he has big numbers every week. It's been a little bit of a seesaw thing with him and Davis. But I think usually that's because opponents have taken him away or, you know, basically you got a better matchup on the other side or whatever it is. Tannehill earlier this year was spreading the ball around to so many different people, and it feels like that group, you know, again, it is different without Humphreys. It is. You gotta keep that in mind. But it just feels like the space is getting tighter out there. I mean, Firkser has dropped some passes, and also just teams are taking him away. And teams are like, okay, he loves going to Firkser in some of these situations. And the only guy who last night, again, who was it seemed to me was winning and then making the plays was Corey Davis.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, they all have bad days. A.J. Brown will be fine. Our offensive ceiling is slammed by LaJuan. We don't look the same right now. I'm not concerned that, like, A.J. Brown after last night is going to, like, not be productive anymore, but it's just a crucial drop last night on a big play that maybe could have changed the outlook of that game.
Yeah, and he had more than one, and it was a bad night, and I totally agree, and I don't think any differently from what I said about, although I might not rank him in the top 10 right at this very moment. But I still have the same idea about his ceiling and all that stuff. He's on his way to being, I think, a great player. That's going to be a night that he points back to probably.
I mean, you just can't finish your night one catch 21 yards in a big game like that.
No.
Especially when you had opportunities to do more. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. And, you know, I thought that was a great play he made. Xavier Rhodes was right there, and A.J. Brown, they had some contact about 5 yards into the route, and he got around him and beat him and torched him. And that's a good cornerback that you're beating over there in one-on-one coverage, and there was no help over the top. You don't get those opportunities a whole lot in the NFL. And it wasn't just that one, to your point. He had another one. It was either in the third or the fourth quarter where it looked like as he was kind of coming back, it was a bit of a curl route there. Somebody grabbed his face mask, and he dropped the ball after that. I mean, I understand that somebody grabbed your face mask, and there was no call on the play, and there should have been, but it still hit you in the hands. Like, you got to catch that ball.
I mean, he almost knocked Xavier Rhodes out of the game on his one catch.
Yeah.
He trucked him, and they had to stop the game. Rhodes was down on the field, but he came back. But, yeah, I mean, look, like you said, you get a few opportunities like this, and you got to take advantage, and usually he does. And I believe that. You go 14-0 there. I mean, the entire game, the Colts may have come back and won still, but the entire game's different from there. It's just a very different feel for that Colts offense down 14-0.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coy in Clarksville text in, today's rant is brought to you by the Titans special teams. Looking for a way to blow a game? Put in some no-name punter after Allen gave you a really good game last week. Oh, and keep Steven Goskowski on the roster as well. Sign anyone else or start going for it on fourth down. This team played with no heart last night. When you get down in the game, where were all the leaders? All on the sideline, joking and talking. Why does this team choose to be mediocre? I'm really starting to question this coaching staff and the 1993 playbook that we're using.
Wow, got through a lot of things. I was kind of with a lot of that, and then I don't know about the 1993 playbook. I don't know about that one.
Was there a play in the 1993 playbook that would have had Derrick Henry lined up as a fullback and you fake it to him and then you throw to Dante Foreman?
It was awesome, though.
That was a brilliant play call.
That was nice. But
even like the handoff to Janu coming the other way. Like, Arthur Smith I thought was fine last night for the most part.
Yeah. You know, the 1 yard when you are really close to – I mean, you really – because the thing is, I don't buy the Titans didn't play with heart. I think late in the game – you can say that they
mailed it in a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know, that missed field goal took a lot out of them. But I mean, they played with heart. They got the third and fourth down stops at the goal line. Then they're slamming Derrick Henry at the Colts, and the Colts can't do anything about it. I will say it's very easy. Plays don't work. The OC screwed up that yard when they're sitting at second and one. That's a tough yard not to get on those next two plays. You know, because. It really felt like the Colts were on their heels at that point.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We have a confirmation from Heidi in Dixon that she's not Jarrett Stillman. I have more brains than him, Heidi says. Y'all are just funny, when I say something because my opinion is similar to him sometimes.
Okay.
Confirmation.
We buy that? All right, I believe you, Heidi. I'm sorry. Even though he's my clowny.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Michael texts in, can you guys please give Jared a hard time for saying he was going to give plaques to the special teams, then muffed a punt and a blocked punt for a touchdown? Thanks, Jared.
I'm missing that. What did he say?
I guess Jared said he was giving out plaques to the special teams.
He said on his show?
I guess.
Or is this
Jared's been pretty critical of the special teams. He's been trying to fire Craig Aukerman for 3 years.
So, and he wanted everyone to know that.
And he retweeted like every tweet he's ever had about Craig Aukerman last night.
Yeah.
Jared's been driving that bus.
So last night they had the first kickoff.
And let me tell you, I might be with him right now.
So they had a kickoff on the first play of the game, as they do in football, and they had the fake reverse. And they made a nice play on it. So immediately Buck Rising tweets at Jared. Why don't you stop? And so I tweeted at both of them and said, you stop trying to give him a raise. You stop firing him. Both of you shut up, you know.
Look at your grandpa coming in.
Exactly.
There
old man comes in and both of you get off my lawn. hey, look, I it is fair to question Craig Aukerman right now based on the whole season.
Yeah.
If you go by the advanced stats of special teams, footballoutsiders.com has the best. This is the overall 31st or 32nd kicking game in the NFL. That's the value they're adding to their team. That's a problem.
You know, there's only 32 teams in the league.
This is right.
It's not good.
This has been an informational segment. They start football games with a kickoff,
yes.
And there are 32 teams in the NFL.
That's what we're here for. Information, entertainment, pulling a little Jeremy Pruitt.
Infotainment.
You can run it every snap or you can throw it every snap, right? It's my belief that you probably need to be able to do both.
He said,
offensively, the name of the game is scoring points.
Set the tone this week. Good on Pruitt.
Those do get funnier each time.
Yes. Especially when it was the Tennessee Vol that totally screwed this up last night for the Titans. Even better.
I can assure you that the gap is closing.
So you think it's Vol karma that hurt the Titans last night?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My goodness. As soon as he stepped foot on the field, I was like, oh, no. What is happening? Why would you do this? And sure enough, everything went bad.
He was lucky to make contact with the ball.
He almost whipped. It was almost like a swing and a miss there for Trevor Daniel. That might have been better. At least you'd have saved time on the touchdown you gave up.
You know, Gostkowski has been punting in practice, so.
Well, maybe he should practice kicking a field goal every now and then.
Maybe they should switch roles.
We know he can kick it 55 yards.
Yeah. You mean he's literally been punting in practice?
Yeah, I've seen him punt. Yeah, looks fine. I think, you know, it probably would have been better than the 17-yarder from the FedEx driver, but call me crazy.
Well, maybe they should switch and Trevor Daniels should kick some field goals because he might be better than Steven Gostkowski is right now. When we come back, it's that time of the week. Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your bold predictions in the world of sports over the weekend. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's that time of the week. Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll take your bold predictions in the world of sports over the weekend. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Now, a different type of Call Your Shot Friday this week. The Titans have already played. The Vols game has been postponed. Many games in the SEC has been postponed. So you may have to get a little creative this week with your called shots, but I have faith in all of us that we can do it. Ryan Porth, would you like to begin this edition of Call Your Shot Friday?
Sure. I have a couple that come to mind off the top of my head. Number one, in the Masters, I'm going to call my shot that Tiger Woods goes back-to-back.
Ooh, I like it.
Back-to-back green jackets.
Great day for Tiger yesterday.
Tiger was pretty darn good yesterday. He knows that course like the back of his hand. Bryson DeChambeau had some struggles. And, I mean, Tiger's already in the top, 10, 15, heading into day two. If he has a strong next couple days, I think he wins it.
How'd our man Jazz do yesterday?
He fell off. Yeah. Yeah. Jazz John Awadanood or whatever his name is. Yeah. Or as Elijah put it after the show, John Olerud.
Yeah.
As his last name. Jazz John Olerud.
You nice had your shot. Moment with him.
Yeah. Do you have any other called shots? I know you typically have listed off about 9 per week.
Well, and they've all been Titans related.
Yeah.
I'll say Joe hits on his pigskin pick'em with the Notre Dame not covering the 13.5. I'll take it a step further and say BC upsets Notre Dame.
Ooh, okay. I like that.
Okay.
Notre Dame, wouldn't that be the most Notre Dame thing ever, is go out, beat Clemson last week, and then follow it up with a loss to Boston College.
It would
That'd
be.
That'd be tough.
It would salvage the football weekend for the Vrabel family, too.
It absolutely would.
Tyler Vrabel,
would.
Starting right tackle for the Boston College.
It would make tomorrow's college football slate somewhat interesting.
Yeah, which right now, struggling a little bit on that front. Joe.
A little bit.
Called shots for the weekend. What do you got?
I have, well, my called shots are not for the weekend.
Okay.
Is that okay?
That's for, you do whatever you want.
Thank you. They're both about
this
the
is
Titans.
Your show.
They're both Titans related. Okay.
Okay.
First of all, every once in a while I throw out a called shot that is long term, so we have to write it down. I'm going to write it down right now.
Are you keeping track of all this?
You know, I have typed up some. I have done a much better job of pigskin pick'em than the called shots. I just typed up poor, so I'm going to call mine right now. Mark me down, 7:51 a.m. on Friday the 13th, 2020. The Tennessee Titans will win the AFC South.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. That's kind of bold after last night.
That is bold.
Yes. It's the perfect time to stun people with that. Because, I mean, for most of the year you say that. It's like, okay, yeah, that sounds about right. They're tied for first. Some of that pick is a little bit of lack of belief in the Colts. I think the Colts are good. I think the Titans have the ingredients to figure this out and get back to being a very good offense. And honestly, I think their defense is getting a little bit better. It has a long way to go.
Okay.
I will not comment on the kicking game at this point. However, I'm going to, just like John Robinson, throw the dice on the table, give me a kicker. I'm gonna say the Titans win the AFC South. I think that they will figure it out.
Okay.
And my other shot is also Titans related. Now this, you guys may say, yeah, no duh, but I don't know. I think some people may disagree with this. The Titans will have, when they line up to play at Baltimore on November 22nd, Steven Gostkowski will be their kicker.
Boo.
Greg Aukerman will be their special teams coach.
Okay.
I'll throw in another called shot for the Titans. By the time they play the Colts next, Steven Gostkowski will not be their kicker.
Yes.
Okay. So we have opposing shots.
I'm wondering if Steven Gostkowski is going to be the kicker by the end of today.
I think that's absolutely possible that he won't be. But I'm calling my shot that he will be.
Okay. I like it.
Because the alternatives are, you could actually get worse. You could. That's
That'd
amazing
to see.
Say. It's amazing to think.
Sure would be something to see if that's truly the case.
Give me old Giorgio.
Yeah. Why not?
Tavecchio.
Yes.
It might happen. Yeah, I mean,
Giorgio could be on a segment with Van Pelt pretty soon in Kirkjian.
Giorgio Tavecchio.
Tavecchio. Little Kirkjian laugh being thrown in there. I'm going to stick with just this weekend for my called shots. Going around the NFL a little bit. Number one, and this is very self-serving of me, but I'm going to do it anyway. Davante Adams, who, by the way, is the best wide receiver in the NFL. He has 200 yards this weekend and 2 touchdowns for the Packers against the Jaguars. The Jaguars are awful. They're in full-on tank mode. They're not very good. And nobody in the league right now can cover Davante Adams, much less anybody on the Jacksonville Jaguars. So he could probably name his yardage total on Sunday if he wanted to, but I say 200 yards, 2 touchdowns for Davante Adams on Sunday.
It's a big number.
It's a big number. But I will also take it a step further in the league as a whole. The LA Rams, I think a double-digit win against the Seahawks this
Ooh,
week.
Okay.
I hate the Seahawks defense. I don't think they're very good. The Rams defense, pretty solid. You've got Aaron Donald back there. I saw a stat where the Rams secondary, in like with teams throwing the ball down the field, they're the best in the league. They rank number one in just about every category. So I think another statement win for the Rams. The Seahawks, I think we may be starting to discover some flaws with them as a whole. Russell Wilson's been great, but there's only so much he can overcome. Give me the Rams by 10 or more.
Whoa.
On Sunday against the Seahawks.
Wow.
I think people are sleeping on the Rams.
I think they are, too.
Goff isn't great, but that defense is.
Joe Rextrow did not sleep on the Rams, though.
I did not. No one picked them to go to the playoffs, which is weird. And I was like, yeah, they're a playoff team.
All right. And the theme
brilliant.
And the theme of the NFL, I'll make a bold called shot.
You keep adding shots.
Yeah, you I just do. Keep going.
I do, because they're just coming to mind as the segment goes along.
Okay.
Cam Newton starts his last NFL game on Sunday.
Wow.
Two. Jeez.
They get smoked by the Ravens, and Bill Belichick says enough.
Wow. I like that. The last NFL game, like he doesn't start ever again.
Doesn't start ever again.
Wow.
He'll be like, I'm trying to think. He'll be like with the Panthers back again in like 6 years and get a star or something. You know.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark from Clarksville text in. My called shots are Notre Dame will lose to Boston College, the Steelers will lose to the Bengals, and Tiger Woods wins the Masters. What do we make of the Steelers? Their first loss of the season. To the Bengals. Mark throwing it out there. I like it.
Oh, I like that too. That's quite a shot. What's up with the Roethlisberger?
He's still on the COVID list, but I don't think he's tested positive yet.
They were saying last night on the Fox NFL pregame that if Big Ben the next 2 days has negative tests, that
he'll play.
Yeah. He will play. He can return to the facility Saturday afternoon, and that the Steelers would do more than a walkthrough tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just so that Ben gets a little bit of practice time.
See, if there's any chance he doesn't play, I love that called shot. But, hey, Joe Burrow's good.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi texts in, called shot, the Titans don't add or drop anyone except the punter before the Ravens game. So
Heidi and I are on the – now is Heidi my burner account.
Heidi, very similar to you, that Gostkowski will still be on the team. I don't think he is. I think Gostkowski's done. At least he should be. I've made my position on that quite clear.
It's going to be really interesting. The discussions in that building right now, very interesting.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Michael texts in, Devontae Adams does not get more than 100 yards receiving in the game against the Jags, and that is disrespectful to me.
That's just
thank you, Michael.
That's just that's a shot, actually. That's actually a heck of a shot.
He might have 100 yards on the first two drives. He gets about 15 targets a game. That's what he's been averaging.
You should have gone for 300.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan texts in, called shots. Comeback player of the year is Alex Smith, over 350 yards passing with 4 touchdowns with a win over my beloved Lions. So there's one. Alex Smith, a big day against the Lions. Number 2 from Dan here, Vikings rout the Bears. And number 3, the Cardinals take it to the Bills at home, 45-27.
Jeez.
Nice NFL called shots there by Dan.
Dan, get off the Lions, buddy. Trying to change the world. Dan, join us.
It's interesting. The Vikings are favored in this game against the Bears. And the Vikings, with as bad as they were to start the season, potentially climbing back into a playoff race in the NFC.
They're the main competition for your beloved Packers.
I feel okay about that. It'd be just fine. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in, called shot, Gostkowski will be on the team next Sunday. There's no one better that's out there.
Is
there anyone worse out there? That's my follow-up question. You say it can get worse. How much worse can it actually get?
Well, I mean, can it get worse than a guy who has 3 game-winning field goals for you this year? I can spin it his way if you want. Yes, it can get worse than a guy who just kicked a 50-yarder last night.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, it can get worse. It can get worse. Oh. Is it good? No, it is not good. 12 for 20 is not good. And, again, you take that 6 for 6 from Minnesota out, 6 for 14 is beyond not good. It's terrible.
He sucks. He's done. Gostkowski sucks. He's done. It's time to move on.
But, if you move on, you better have an answer. Because then you're just going to keep playing this game, and it gets worse. It can get worse, man. It can. It absolutely can get worse. All the kickers that you thought were good are crushing it for other NFL teams right now.
Yeah, what does that tell you about the Titans' ability to evaluate the kicking position right now? Not great.
Right, so you want to evaluate another one?
Why not? It cannot get worse. Sure. It cannot get worse. Are you saying it can get worse? No, it can't. It cannot get worse than Gostkowski's been right now. When we come back, our good friend, Deron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us. We'll get into the loss against the Colts last night with him. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.